Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Thursday, October 24th, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey. In just a moment, we'll hear from Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email, stevejones@wkok.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Give us a like. We're also on Twitter. Give us a follow. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Subscribe to our podcast. We are on Google Play and Apple Podcast app. Search Steve Jones Show. When you hit the subscribe button, we'll drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet after they air live on WKOK. You can also go back in time and catch at least 3 months worth of previously aired shows at stevejonesshow.com. So we're with you live till 5, then we'll have the late-day news roundup with Matt Catrillo. Then, of course, since it's Thursday, that means a double dose of Jonesy. Tonight he'll be at Primanti Brothers, 6:05 for the Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin. From downtown State College, we'll get coaches' perspective before the team heads for Michigan State tomorrow. Live coverage from East Lansing will start Saturday at 2 with the pregame tailgate and kick just after 3:30 here on 1070 AM. WKOK.com and on our Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. Next half hour, we will have our high school football roundtable, be the last one for the regular season, and we'll break down the battle of the Little Brown Jug between Lewisburg-Mifflinburg, which will be on 100.9 The Valley with Greg Wetzel. Seawinds Grove will travel up Interstate 180 to take on Mentoursville. That'll be live on Eagle 107. We'll hear from our Seals statistician, Zach Showers. And Milton Shikellamy, it'll be senior night for the Braves tomorrow night in Sunbury here on WKOK with Kevin and the Chief, Dave Ritchie. Chief will join us in the roundtable as well. Also, we will have our picks, because the king, Mr. First Place, Steve's brother Kevin Jones, does not want to wait until tomorrow. So Kevin will be joining us in the next half hour with his picks, Steve's picks and yours truly as well. Also, we will be kicking off hour number two with Liz Rocher. She is a writer for Yahoo Sports. She's a former Phillies writer for The Athletic. She's now with Yahoo Sports, and she's also the co-host of the Good Fight podcast. We will get her take on Joe Girardi. The Phillies have their man, 55th Phillies manager in franchise history. Word out this morning at various media sources in and around Philly that Joe Girardi, the former New York Yankees manager and now former Fox Sports Major League Baseball booth analyst, be replacing Gabe Kapler, who was let go after two disappointing seasons. So we will have Liz's take on the soon-to-be manager, Joe Girardi, coming up at 4:06.
Yes, we'll do that. In sports, whenever there is a forced coaching or managerial change, and I don't mean the coach retires, coach decides they no longer want to do it, or whatever, right? But when you have the forced change, ex-manager is fired, ex-head coach is fired, I would venture to say that 8 times out of 10, you'll see the organization go with the opposite of what they just had. So, let's take, for example, the Yankees. Let's take Joe Girardi. Let's take Joe Girardi in both situations. Joe Girardi was never known to be completely enamored with analytics. Okay. And so the Yankees wanted more of an analytics approach. So they decided, after years together, a parting of the ways. The Yankees go through their search, and it's well known that Aaron Boone convinced the Yankees that he deeply believed in analytics. He ended up getting the job. And to his credit, Aaron Boone has done an excellent job with the Yankees with back-to-back 100-plus win seasons. Let's flip it to Philadelphia. Gabe Kapler, deeply, deeply believing in analytics and becoming the first manager in the history of the game to lose the fan base in the seventh inning of his first game. I don't care what anybody says, he did. After that, there was scrutiny on every move he made for 2 years. Why is he doing that? That doesn't make any sense. That must be an analytics thing. You know, generalization such as that. So he goes, and Sean, what direction do the Phillies go in? Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi did say on a Fox broadcast that he had a greater understanding of analytics. But he's still going to manage the game the way he wants. He is a veteran who knows the game inside and out. I think, on the surface, this is an excellent hire for Philadelphia. Analytics are tremendous guides, no question. But a coach or a manager has to be able to know what they're watching and get a read on what they're watching to then allow them to make decisions. I've got a starting pitcher out there who's got 70 pitches. I know it's the third time through the order, but you know what? I'm watching this guy, and so far I don't see any way they're touching him. You run him out there for the seventh inning. You consider the eighth inning, too, as a possibility, especially if you're trying to save your bullpen, depending on the time of year it is. Or I'm looking at him. I know he's getting outs, but he's grinding, and he's grinding, and he's grinding. I'm going to have to go to the bullpen here. I just don't think he can keep grinding. You have to be able to make those kinds of decisions. How do you manage a lineup? How do you get your bench players in while you're giving your starters a rest day here and there, especially during a brutal part of the schedule? Joe Girardi, I think, is the steady hand that the Phillies are looking for. And now in a division that is so tough, the Braves are going to be good for a long time. The Nationals are going to be interesting. Will they be good for a long time? Anthony Rendon, for example, is just outstanding, but guess what? His contract's up. I think it's an excellent hire by Philadelphia. Is it the kind of hire that gets them 8 more wins? Remember Greg Paulus, who played at Duke in basketball, and then he played football at Syracuse as a quarterback? He's now the interim head coach at Niagara. Patrick Beilein, John's son, stepped down from the position today at Niagara as the head coach right before the start of the season. And personal reasons. He says, personal reasons I can no longer take lightly have led me to step down. Now, what that happens to be, didn't say, obviously. And Patrick Beilein's only 36. And his father is the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. High school roundtable coming up in the next half hour. Milton is at Shikellamy. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow. 7 o'clock the kick. Kevin and the Chief on beginning at 6:30. Sealands Grove will be at Montoursville. Zach Showers will preview that one. We'll have it on Eagle 107 at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock the airtime. And Greg Wetzel will be in studio as Lewisburg plays at Mifflinburg for the Little Brown Jug. And you'll hear that on 100.9 The Valley tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and 6:30 will be the airtime. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. High school football roundtable in the next half hour. And Liz Rocher, the writer for Yahoo Sports and co-host of the Good Fight podcast, will be joining us at 4:06 on Joe Girardi. And then our picks coming up: Wisconsin at Ohio State, Auburn, LSU, Notre Dame, Michigan, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Arizona at New Orleans, Carolina at San Francisco, and Green Bay at Kansas City will be our picks in the final half hour. So we have a lot going on. And we will go from there. Great to have you with us on board on today's show. And Joe Girardi is the new manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Pirates don't appear to be close to hiring anybody yet. But, for example, I'll give you one. Buck Showalter is still very much available for Pittsburgh. Still very much available. Now, maybe they want to go internally, too. I don't know.
Oh, like San Diego did. I guess what they hired there. Moved up their bench coach, right?
I thought they hired somebody who was the Texas Rangers bench coach.
Oh, that's right. Rangers, but yeah. Yeah, it was a Rangers coach going to San Diego. You're right. That's why your name's
I
on the show. And
handle every detail of the show.
That's why your name's
exhausted.
On the show, man.
Getting exhausted.
It's all good. We'll edit that out for the podcast. Or maybe.
No, or just maybe leave it in there.
I'll leave it in there.
I'll leave it in there. So.
Well, we heard close to a week ago from various sources out of Philadelphia that they were shooting for today to make the announcement, since this being the off day of the World Series. So,
yeah.
So everything fell into place. I think the Pirates would, with open arms, they would bring in Buck Showalter. Are you kidding me? Like, Pirates fans would be ecstatic if they would get him. Then again, I thought a week ago that Joe Girardi to Philly would be a pipe dream. I just thought he was the long shot out of them all.
No, I thought he was the guy, as you know. I
well, it I was John he, Middleton. That's who John Middleton targeted too. So, yeah.
Well, you know, John and I often talk. All right, so
you're tight.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. Tight.
Yeah, no, not describing your physical quality. No, not. No, you're the complete opposite of that. When the on-air light comes on, no, not that kind of tight.
No.
As in, we're pals, we're tight.
Yeah, we're buds, you know.
Yeah.
So, not surprised, are you?
No, of course not. That's how you roll.
Yeah, Middleton and I? Oh, tight.
Yep.
What's his first name again?
Yeah. That's like the play-by-play voice of Michigan. Steve, he's the play-by-play guy, right?
Yeah. I know. Oh my God, yeah. But that's Brandy. That's Brandy. So funny.
I'm sensing a trend too, because when I was on the phone earlier this week with Will Thiemann before we had him on the show, and of course you're gonna return the favor and join him on the Spartan
Tomorrow
Sports
morning.
Network Friday morning. Yeah, he said to me on the phone, it's like, because I said to Will, I'd say for years and years I'd always loved to listen to you. When I'd be on I-99, I'd see Beaver Stadium off in the distance, and he'd be hosting the weekly Big Ten football preview show.
He
said, yeah, Steve was on that show many a time, and boy, it's about time I got a smart guy on that show. So I'm sensing a trend with other broadcasters around the conference. I'm catching an ongoing theme here.
What is it telling you? Oh, God, I wish I could help other people out. Oh, God. I really wish I could. These are all good guys.
Oh, yeah.
I was on Sirius XM. It was the day we were out at Penn's Landing this year. So was that in August we did that? I'm trying to think. We went out. We had a day out there.
Yeah, we were there back in May, the day before
the Purdy
tournament.
The day before the Purdy tournament.
You betcha. Yes.
And I was on Sirius.
Yep. Penn's Tavern. That's right. Oh, that's right, because I remember you were in the other room talking to Keith and to Trey, and you'd left your phone out by our equipment. So it's, oh, that's right, because I remember you'd said to me that you had a guest shot coming up.
And they asked me about something I really liked about the conference or whatever, and I said, actually, the other guys who do the games. I said the Big Ten is very fortunate. I said that the other people in the conference that do games, I said, they're just, I said, not only excellent broadcasters, and that's one thing about Sirius XM is we can now hear each other. I said, they're not only excellent broadcasters, these really good guys. I said nobody in the group has an ego. Johnny Holiday and I were talking about this when I saw Johnny a couple weeks ago. You know, and of course, Johnny's new to all this. And we were talking about what really good guys there are in the conference. You know, and of course, Johnny says, yeah, well, there's only one problem. I said, yeah, I know, you're looking at him. All right, next half hour, we'll take a look at our high school football roundtable. Greg Wetzel, Zach Showers, and the pseudo suit, the Chief.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. A lot of high school football on the final week of the regular season. Ugh, I hate the fact that it's the final week of the regular season. If it's November 1st, which is next Friday, yeah, it's just, you know, it's all being done to accommodate a playoff system that isn't right and takes too long. So, Sean, give me the order. Who do you want to go first here?
We can go with Chief first.
Chiefs first. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us, as always.
It's good to be here, Steve. Thank you.
All right. What are the common threads that you're seeing now week to week that's allowed Shikellamy to win?
I think it's one of the things that the team's had all along is the fact that they keep fighting till the end. And last week was a great example. They were down by a score of 20-7 with less than 6 minutes to go, and Shamokin was driving the ball and had 4th and 2 and inside the 30-yard line of Shikellamy, and they stopped him and came back to score 2 touchdowns and go for 2 and win the game. So that kind of mindset has really, really helped them, and this time it paid off. You talked to Coach Tilford. He said these kids practice hard. They're fun to practice with. They don't, at that time when they were 0-6, you know, they didn't practice like a team that was 0-6, and now they're 3-6, and they've got a chance to go 4-6 this Friday night.
The ending and how it played out, from your perspective, how dramatic was that to sit there and watch it play out?
Well, you know, I'm 65 years old, and I'll tell you what, I was flush in the face for the last 4 minutes of that game. And, you know, my partner Kevin gets pretty excited too. So when you can raise the blood pressure and the whole personality of two guys like us, it just emulated through the whole stadium. It got to a point, Steve, that everything they tried to do worked. And when it came down to going for 2 points, you just knew they were going to make it. And you know, it's the same old story when Kirk Gibson hit the home run against the A's to win the game. And you looked at that ball, the ball's going out of right field, and you see all the taillights of everybody leaving the Los Angeles Stadium, all right? Well, there were people that left that game when Chickalamy was down 20-7, and they missed a lot, all right? The people that stayed, it's something that they can talk about for the rest of their lives. And think about these kids. I mean, this is a game that they can't forget. And it's, you know, when they have their reunions years from now, they say, hey, remember we came back on Shamokin and, you know, we were down by 13 points and we pulled it out to win. So it's one of those things that happens in high school football. It happened 2 years ago up at Loyal Sock. They were down 15 with 9 minutes to go and they came back and won that. So I think it helps to rejuvenate things. You don't hurt as much anymore. And now, instead of being fourth place and playing a number one seed in districts, they're in third place with a chance to stay at that third place and go against the number two team. So there's a lot going through these kids' minds right now, and it's all positive.
If they had not won the previous 2 weeks, do you think that was enough to give them confidence they could pull this off?
You know what, Steve? I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't know. Probably if I worked with those kids and if I saw what Coach Tilford and the rest of the staff saw, how they practiced, yes, I would say that they could do that. I really do. I coach football quite a bit, and I've had some teams that refuse to lose, and I don't ever remember having a team that, you know, the last week of practice was so dull because there was no place to go except finish the season. And so that's what I would expect from my kids. And I think that's what the Coach Tilford and his staff expects from them.
Okay, well, what are some of the keys in the matchup with Milton?
Well, I think Milton, you know, without having a win this year, and they've only scored 80 points and they've given up 410, I think overconfidence would be one of the things that the kids would have to, you know, instill in their play. I don't think that's going to happen because last year was basically one of the same situations, and Milton beat Chickalamy, and they probably shouldn't have. And I think Milton has the capability of having some big plays, and that's the one thing that I think that the Braves have to keep from allowing Milton to do is to let the big play and to get the scores, you know, like on long runs or long touchdown passes. The Braves, on the other hand, have shown the last 3 weeks that they can take the ball and they can drive, you know, use up the clock and score. And I believe if they do that against Milton, it'll get another victory for them.
Dave, pleasure. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Steve. All right. And have a good time out with Michigan State. And listen, that game on Saturday, you had to be a little excited about that, especially that fourth down and goal, all right, that the kids stopped them, Michigan, from.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. All right. By the way, Sean, do you have the sequence of plays from the game?
Oh, I can rack them up quick, sure.
We're contractually obligated because there's a member of middle management that has been insistent. That's a good word, don't you think, Sean? Insistent?
Insistent, persistent, or consistent?
Begging.
Begging. Pleading.
Yeah, please. It's all about, who's it all about? It's all about him. So if you have the plays, that'd be great.
Okay, here we go.
So what do we do here, Kev?
Well, you get a yard. That's what you do. It is fourth and one from the five. Balestrini under center. Game on the line right here. Balestrini pitches to Maneer. Maneer with a stiff arm to the five, to the two, one. Touchdown!
Well, that's Nate Maneer's second touchdown of the year, Kevin.
Balestrini under center. Handoff right side. Simco. 2-point conversion is good. And the Braves take the lead with a minute 9 to go. Simco for 2. Rhymes back to pass. Not much pressure. Sets up down the middle of the field. Intercepted! Intercepted! And it's the Mason Brubaker with the pick. And ladies and gentlemen, ball game.
Yeah, you just book your spot in, you know, first Monday in May for the PAB convention in Hershey and just, you know, bring home more hardware, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think that would be terrific. And also, if you could include subtitles so they know what you're saying. All right, so, what? I'm just trying to help the audience. Stop laughing, Sean.
Zach's all right. Ready to go.
Zach. Go ahead, Zach. Great to have you with us.
Oops.
Zach hung up. Way to go.
Oops. No, I hung up on him. I hit the wrong button.
You hung up on Zach. You can't hang up on Zach Showers.
Sorry. I'll call him back.
Ah, what were you doing? So let's bring in Greg.
I hit the wrong stinking button. Here
we go. Let's bring in Greg. Hello,
okay.
Greg.
Greg's ready.
Hey, how you doing?
It's good. Little brown jug game coming up. All right. Have you recovered yet from hearing the calls of the Shikalimi game?
I'm okay now. My heart's back to normal. I was excited there for a while.
No, I pretty much was the same heart rate. All right. So level of play going into this one, how would you characterize it?
Boy, oh, that's tough. You know, they've lost two in a row.
Yeah.
And this one they gave away. And when I say they gave away, Steve, Lewisburg was ahead 21-14 with about 7 minutes to go in the game. Central's punting from their own 3-yard line. High snap. The punter just barely gets out of the end zone, and one of the kids runs into the punter.
Yeah.
So then they re-punt it. We get the ball on the 45. First play, we fumble. So
was that a rugby punt, by the way?
No, it wasn't a rugby punt.
No, I'm just asking because that puts the defender in conflict.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a rugby punt. No, it was a straight-on punt. So
okay.
So those little things like that have hurt. Intentional grounding penalty, you know. So Lewisburg's just not playing as sharp as they were earlier in the year. And Mifflinburg's coming to the game with 4 losses. So
right.
This is a big game going in the districts, you know, trying to get their mindset right, going in on a winning note.
Okay, so is this a case where they were able to emotionally survive early a key injury, but may have not been able to find the consistent formula to sustain it?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it because each kid now, instead of playing their role, is trying to take on too much, I believe. You know, trying to do too much. And that's putting them in some bad spots and bad positions. You know, kids are, they want to make that catch and then gain 10 more yards. Instead of catching the ball, they're dropping the ball. Going for an extra 2 yards when they're being tackled, you know, instead of going down and the ball comes out. So things like that are starting to hurt them. And I think if they just do their job, they're going to be okay. But that's tough to tell a 16-year-old kid.
Greg, tell everybody that may not be familiar with it the emotion of Lewisburg and Mifflinburg.
You know, I told the coach last night. Now, I'm a lifetime resident of Lewisburg. You have to understand that.
Right. Yes.
And I said, you know, I want you guys to win every game, but I need you to win this one. And I think that's the way alumni look at this game. Now, the difference between Lewisburg and Mifflinburg is Lewisburg's a transient community. And I would say 80% of our kids on the football team weren't born in Lewisburg. And I think Mifflinburg's probably the complete opposite. And that's not 80%, but I would say well over half their kids were born in Mifflinburg and live in Mifflinburg. So right now, I think the rivalry means more to Mifflinburg than it does to Lewisburg. I don't want to demean or degrade the rivalry, but I think from a perspective of the players right now, they haven't lost to Mifflinburg in probably eight years, something like that, 10 years. These kids don't want to know what it's like to lose to Mifflinburg. So the rivalry doesn't mean as much to them right now as it does maybe to Mifflinburg.
Yeah, and what does it take to win this?
Well, they're going to have to play mistake-free football. And it's up there. It's senior night. It's their last night, last game of the year. Seeding purposes, it really doesn't affect seeding. We're going to play Warrior Run next week, whether we win or lose. The only difference are we're going to play at Warrior Run at Bucknell. We're going in with one of our top linemen. Won't be playing. Josh Ghost won't be playing this week. He hurt his knee last week. I think they have to play a mistake-free game to beat Mifflinburg. I think that's what it's going to take.
Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Have you played this week?
Yeah, I got 18 holes in today.
Oh, good.
It was tough, but I got 18 holes in.
I got 9 in Sunday.
Did you?
So, yeah.
Good for you. I didn't play earlier in the week. I was doing some other things. But, yeah, I got 18 holes in today. It was beautiful out there today. Not a cloud in the sky.
Oh, I bet.
It was beautiful.
I bet. Yeah, well, I birdied 9 to shoot 39, so I did all right.
Well, good for you. I birdied nothing. I left a couple birdie putts about 6 inches left or right. You know,
you've now said that the last 2 or 3 times you've been out.
I have to get a designated putter.
You got
to
finish the year strong.
He's falling apart. Perfect time. I have a bye week coming up. Let's play.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready.
All right.
Hey, Zach, the only thing is I'll be in Orlando, so come down there.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's bring in Zach Shower, Sealers Grove, Montoursville. Hello, Zach. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well today, Steve. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that Sean just hung up on you, I mean, I didn't think that was... I mean, we try to be a classier show than that. All right, so... I hate when you hit the wrong button. You're like, oh, no. Okay, so let's get to it. You want to be playing your best at this time of the year, or is Sealers Grove playing its best?
Yeah, in certain ways, I would say they are. I think one of the, I guess it can be a negative or a positive, is I don't think we feel like they've put together their best game of the season yet.
Yeah,
I can't say that they've put together a total complete game yet. I think every game that they've played this year, I mean, if you look at the last 4 weeks, 4-game win streak, each game they've done different things to win. You know, they've consistently shut down the opponent's running game. They've started to run the ball. Last week they had a season high 257 yards rushing against Danville, so you're starting to see a little bit more of an identity offensively. And you're seeing a team, last week, when you look back at the game, they were a team that responded to adversity. Danville took the lead twice in the third quarter, and both times Sealens Grove took the ball right down and scored a touchdown to answer them. And they made plays at the end of the game when they needed to. So there's obviously improvements. The secondary struggled a little bit the last 2 weeks, and there's a lot of penalties last week. But overall, I think we're optimistic going into this matchup against Montoursville.
Okay, so what does it take for them to beat Montoursville in this one? What would be a couple things you'll look for right away, Zach?
Well, Montoursville is a really solid team. They're 8-1, and their only loss was last week against Southern, which we all know how that goes this season.
Right, exactly.
So they are a team, when you look at their numbers, when you look at them on tape, they don't jump out at you, but they are just solid across the board. Their defense is really physical. They have a balanced passing game and running game. So they are able to do a lot of different things. It's a matchup where Sealens Grove is going to need to play mistake-free. Last week they had 13 penalties in the game, and it really put them behind the sticks quite a bit. Sometimes it was on false starts, sometimes on holding penalties that weren't needed with the play, and it really put them behind the sticks last week. That's something that, in a game like this, you can't play. You can't have those penalties if you expect to take on a Montoursville team. I think Sealens Grove matches up pretty well defensively. I don't think Montoursville shows anything that Seelensgrove hasn't seen this season and hasn't had some success stopping against. Like anything, it's going to be a matter of, can the offense do enough? Are they able to run the football and make those throws, especially on third down? This is a team that's struggled this year, really moving the sticks and keeping those drives going. So overall, I think the coaching staff and us as a broadcast are optimistic about it being a good game Friday night, but it's definitely going to have to take a complete effort by the Seals team if they're going to come away with a victory.
Pleasure, Zach. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Are we contractually obligated to play that sequence again? Or
no, we're clear. We did it earlier this week, and today I think we're fine.
Oh, good. On the last one, my fillings moved. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you've been dealing with dental stuff this week, so that's the last thing you need. So,
oh, yeah. At least I got one step done today. I mean, there'll be more steps. Oh, well. Yeah. It's life. Get it done. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Clifford fakes it, takes it, got it, touchdown, Penn State. He faked the pitch, he took it home himself, and the Nittany Lions have a two-score lead.
Penn State football is sponsored by Blaze Alexander Ford, Carpet Man, Mifflinburg Auto Sales, Glick Associates, Mifflinburg Hotel, Scarlet D, and Lewisburg Hotel. The Nittany Lions take on Michigan State in East Lansing. Kickoff set for 3:30 on at 2 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. Next half hour, we're going to deal with the Philadelphia Phillies managerial change with Joe Girardi coming in to be the manager of the Phillies. Liz Rocher will join us, writer for Yahoo Sports and also co-host of the Good Fight podcast. Liz will join us to talk about the hiring of Joe Girardi. And, of course, as always, News Radio 1070 WKOK is your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. Our thanks, by the way, to Matt Cotrillo, who took some time out to interview Nathan Davis today, and also one of our all-time favorites, Kelly Mazzanti. Kelly's a gem. And we'll have those interviews for you next Friday. But Matt, thanks so much for doing all the work there. Thanks, Sean, for all the work you do. And Greg Wetzel and Dave Ritchie. And Zach Showers, and Mark Lawrence, Kyle Alexander. Am I leaving out anybody?
No, that's all of them. Actually, there's a few more.
Oh, yeah. Laura. Yeah.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, and on WKOK.com.